You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now on the show, we invite Green Party co-leader Materia Ture. Are you there, Materia?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
I'm very well. This is our last show of the year on The Wire, and I thought that we could talk a little bit about the year that's just gone by. So what would you say would be the biggest takeaways in terms of what's happened politically over the last year for you?
Oh, well, there's been a lot. I mean, for the Greens, for the work that we've been doing, I mean, we always spend this year putting out policy papers and, you know, trying to get as many ideas as possible out. And that's what we've been doing, everything from water, a heap of stuff on housing, North Shore Rail. We've done stuff that involves government. We've done stuff that involves other political parties. It's been a really good year for sharing the ideas. Globally, we had two big issues with both Brexit and Trump, and that's been both enormous in terms of shifting the way people were thinking about politics and what politics means to communities who've been marginalised, and to those who just feel it, even if it's not necessarily true, and what that might mean. I was really pleased with the MOU that we have with Labor. I think it was a really big step for opposition parties to agree to work together to change the government, but to do so in opposition. It's the first agreement of its kind in New Zealand politics, and we've had nothing but excellent feedback from the country, actually, about that. People are really keen on the idea of it, so that's been really good. So it's been, there's been a lot of stuff happening domestically and internationally, but that's always the case when you're in politics.
Absolutely. And would you say that agreement with Labour has, if you had to go back in time, you know, to the beginning of 2016, would you say that that agreement now makes you feel in a lot more of a stronger position coming into this next election?
Well, what it does is it gives us certainty. We've been working on our relationship with Labour since Andrew Little was elected. We spent 2015... working closely with him and getting to know him and his team better, meeting them regularly. I mean, these things don't happen quickly. They take a lot of work and a lot of planning over many, many months. The thing I like about it a lot, actually, is it's not just a conversation with Labour. It's a conversation with the whole community about the kind of government that they want. So because we're doing this, we have this agreement with them, and it's very open, people ask us about, you know, how it's going with Labour and what kind of things we might be doing together. And we can talk to people, New Zealanders, voters, about the kind of government they'd like to see, what they'd like it to look like, the kinds of things they'd like it to be doing. So it's not just a conversation about being a different government, but about doing government differently as well. And I think that's what really opened up with the MOU. It's a three-way conversation between us, Labour, and New Zealanders. It's been really good.
And do you think, since obviously that happened earlier in the year, do you reckon that has had enough time to kind of ferment, and you guys have all settled between each other with your, there will be views that don't exactly align? Have you had enough time to kind of prepare coming into next year, when it will be just a hectic year of drama and as it always is before an election?
I mean, the thing is, what I find really weird, one of the things I find weird about it, is that for some reason, two opposition parties working together to change the government seem to have there's a demand, particularly from media, not necessarily you guys, but just certainly from the gallery, that we have to agree about everything, which is never a demand that's placed on government when government forms into coalitions and actually, you know, is in control of the country. So I've always found it really curious that somehow an MOU demands more agreement between the two parties than a coalition agreement does. I just don't quite get it. But I think this is why these things take some time and you work on it. So, like I say, we've been working on getting to know the Labour people better. That always helps, because politics is all about relationships. But also, there's things that we agree on with Labour and things we don't. And we're two completely different independent parties, and we don't have to agree on everything. And I'm not quite sure why everybody thinks we ought to. But And that the whole point of going into an election with the commitment to change the government of two independent parties means that people have got a real choice about what policy priorities they want in the next government, knowing for certain that the intention is to be a new government. And that's you know, so it actually frees people up. They don't have to worry about whether, they don't have to worry so much about whether there's going to be a change of government, because that's the commitment we've already made. But they can vote according to their genuine policy preferences. And that's why you have different policy. That's why you take different approaches as two different parties going into the election campaign. So it gives people more choice, actually. People are freer to vote for what they want, and they have more choice about what they want, because they know they're going to get parties that are committed to changing the government. So that's why it's important to have to be distinct from each other and to be committed to your own kaupapa. Labour have got theirs, the Greens have got ours, and that's really good. That's what democracy should be about.
And now that we've spoken a little bit about Labour and the Green Party, I'd just like to bring it to some recent news today, which is that Prime Minister Bill English, our Bill, has unveiled his cabinet selections and adjustments, one of which was that the housing minister title is now gone. Do you think that is indicative of anything, that they've taken it into two roles? One is the building and construction, one is social housing, but there's no longer a unifying housing minister. What do you think of that?
Oh, it's total bollocks. I mean, it's absolutely absolutely proves what everybody has been saying now for almost the whole time National's been in power, that they have no interest in being part of the housing scene in New Zealand. They actually, you know, getting, not only do they deny the housing crisis, but getting rid of the Minister for Housing portfolio in any form, it just proves that they have no interest in making sure there's affordable housing. They want government out of all housing responsibility. And it's a dismal and terrible failure. I mean, the you cannot, in a country as small as ours, you simply cannot leave affordable housing to the private market. It's just a proven failure everywhere. You need to have a government agency that's responsible for that, because the private market can't do it. And the only way you can have a commitment from government is if you have a Minister for Housing with a mandate to make sure that planning for housing is, that they do that work, and that they use government resources, whether it's the expertise government has, whether it's the low cost of borrowing, whether it's a facilitation role, all of these things, to make sure that that there is housing provided for every family. I mean, housing is not a nice to have. It's a fundamental of kind of a civilized society. It's no less critical than potable water and electricity, for God's sake. It's, you know, you can't have a functioning civilized society if you have extremes of homelessness, and that's what we've got. So for them to get rid of the Minister of Housing just proves that they were never, ever committed to making sure that families are housed in this country. I mean, it's at least it's kind of out in the open now. There's really no pretense about it. But it's a terrible and stupid decision on their part.
Looking at the adjustments, would you draw any positives from the recent reshufflings?
Well, Judith got demoted.
She did. She did.
So, you know,
interesting roles for her now.
Yeah, her roles are pretty much, don't really have much in the way of responsibility. I read somewhere someone saying they don't give her a chance to grandstand on issues, and that's true too. I think that was a consequence probably of her putting her name forward for the leader. Actually, I wondered what would happen. So I suspect that that's the case. I mean, I don't believe Judith should have been brought back into a ministerial role anyway. And I think she proved herself largely untrustworthy in that role when she was brought back in. So she certainly hasn't been a good minister, so I'm not surprised about that. The Minister for Children is a good first step. They ought to change the name of the new SIFT as a result of it, but at least they've recognised the need for a Minister for Children role. It's going to be a question, of course, of what the policy is, but I thought that was a good step.
Absolutely. And one final question for you is just after the break, what do you think will be the most important, like single most important thing to be thinking about amongst the Green Party when you guys are going headed into the election?
It wasn't going to be a single most important thing. we're going to start the year off with a bang. We're in election year now. We're less than, well, no, we're about 8 months out from election. So we've been doing a huge amount of work. We've consolidated our caucus, and now the time is to get out there and talk with voters about the things they want to see happening in their country, and work together to change the government. So that is going to be our number one intention for this year: maximise our vote, increase our numbers, and change the government. We simply can't allow National to keep the control that they've had of this country. They've failed on child poverty, they've failed on pollution and climate change, they've failed on homelessness and housing. I mean, these are critical issues that New Zealanders deserve better, certainly better from their government.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, Materia. That is our last one for the year. So,
Merry Christmas. Have a great break.
I won't be returning, but next year you'll be talking to Hannah, who is with us now. Hannah?
Cool. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, how are you doing?
Always good.
Cool. Looking forward to it.
Anyway. Thank you very much.
All right, cheers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.